This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, cruising into a three-day weekend, a Labor Day weekend. Put a smile on your face, and let's tackle some more questions, shall we, and enjoy ourselves. Hey, Jesse, if J.D. Vance is the front runner for 2028, who do you have as the VP? I have Trump. Okay, so it's not going to be Trump. All right, not going to be Trump. Don't get me wrong; it would drive the left crazy. But it's time to let him go. We don't want a king. Trump himself would probably tell you that 8 years is enough. George Washington knew it. 8 years, turn around, and give up power. And that's very difficult when you have somebody you like in charge. But never-ending power for one man pretty much always ends up badly. Let him go. There'll be others. Trump is not the last. He's not the end. He's not the only hope. He is somebody who, in a lot of ways, moved the ball forward in saving this country from communism. Not perfect. Certainly all kinds of failures in there. I get that for sure. But he's been invaluable to us. Invaluable to us. And we should always be appreciative of that fact while also letting him go. There will be others. All right? As far as VP goes, I would think it would be Rubio or DeSantis. Look, Ron DeSantis is a young man. He's in his 40s, I believe. He's in his 40s. He's been the best governor in America for a long time. He took Florida from being purple to being blood red, unapologetically, smashed through every right-wing policy you could possibly imagine. He surely can't be dumb. And I don't think he should be done, nor do I think he will be, by the way. If he's not the VP pick, he's going to land somewhere politically. But at that age, someone who's shown that kind of courage, I could see it being him. I could see it being Rubio, who's impressed me. I could see it. You know, I don't know that I would support this. In fact, I probably wouldn't. But I could see it being Tulsi. She's making a lot of splashes, a lot of name for herself. Every time you turn around, she's on the news saying things Trump likes.
You've also found many bags of information. I think they call them burn bags. They're supposed to be burned, and they didn't get burned, having to do with how corrupt the 2020 election was. And when will that all come out?
Mr. President, I will be the first to brief you once we have that information collected. But you're right. It's we are finding documents literally tucked away in the back of safes and random offices in these bags and in other areas, which again speaks to the intent of those who are trying to hide the truth from the American people and trying to cover up the politicization that was led by people like John Brennan and James Clapper and others that have caused really immeasurable harm to the American people and to our country.
I'm going to give you a dark horse for VP. It's a super dark horse, but I'm going to give it to you. And I want to be clear, I have not heard any rumors at all, but I'll explain in a moment. Governor Greg Abbott of Texas. Now, this is not me pushing for it at all. I have not forgiven COVID tyranny, and Texas may not have been, you know, New York or California, but there was too much tyranny here for me. I'm not pushing for it. I'm not advocating for it. But Greg Abbott is a very ambitious human being. Greg Abbott is also a prolific fundraiser. He is very, very good at raising money. He is also a very savvy politician. He's always given press conferences like this.
This is very simple. Hostile foreign adversaries like China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea, as well as foreign terrorist organizations like Trinidad-Aragua, must not be allowed to own land in Texas, period. They should not be allowed access to our critical...
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Now, Jewish producer Chris asked, because he's in a wheelchair, he had a tree fall on him. It's a famous story here in Texas, but because he's in a wheelchair, he's paralyzed from the waist down. Isn't that a negative? Again, I can't speak for the normies. It's not bothered Texans at all, that particular thing. It's something he owns. And let me put this out there. What is one of the major things that is killing the popularity of the Democrat Party right now? In fact, it's one of the major reasons why young people are leaving the Democrat Party in droves. And for the first time in my life, young men and young women are signing up to be Republicans. They're mean. They're always lecturing everybody. Always unhappy, screaming, scolding, mean. All the time. Trump always looks like he's having fun. J.D. Vance can't get the smile off his face, no matter what he's talking about. Looks joyful, jovial, and that is infectious. Democrats are always screaming and angry and mean. So let me ask you, there's such a thing as bait. What do you think the left reaction would be if it was Greg Abbott? What would they say? How long would it take a Democrat, probably the Democrat nominee, to insult the fact that Greg Abbott is in a wheelchair? Obviously, this already happens in Texas with Democrats. It already happens if you're in Texas, which you're probably not. But if you're in Texas, it's something you see. Oh, yeah, Governor, what was it, a Jasmine Cockatoo calls him government Hot Wheels already? Now, that's, look, I don't get offended. I'm not offended, but... how unappealing would Democrats make themselves when Greg Abbott jumped in and they all started making wheelchair jokes? Go ahead and make yourself, not jump in, Chris. Chris, we don't need you making jokes too. Why don't you guys grow up in here, okay? If Greg Abbott wheels in there, Chris, how long would it take for Democrats to immediately make themselves look awful? They have no control of their mouths, no control of their emotions. Even if they didn't want to, they would stand up in front of a large crowd of their street animals calling for blood, and they would say something terrible 5 seconds into Greg Abbott announcing his candidacy that would make them look horrible and unappealing to everybody. Don't count out Greg Abbott. I've not heard that before. I'll tell you what I do know, though. What I do know is the 2020 election. Now, this I know, no. The 2020 election. Or no. What is it? No, it was the 2024 election. I'm sorry. The 2024 election. Remember, Joe Biden was president. And Donald Trump announced his candidacy very early. But before he announced that, I think this was 2021, 2022-ish maybe, I was invited to and attended one of these very private things where it's a bunch of millionaires and a bunch of GOPers discussing the potential field for Republicans. And it was widely known in this meeting that if Donald Trump had not declared that he was going to run again, that Greg Abbott would have. Greg Abbott was going to be part of that field. Again, don't take this as my advocacy for him at all, but I could see that. You have a long-established governor who raises money, speaks very well. He's very ambitious. I could see it. I could totally see it. That's all I'm saying. Jesse, you recognize we are threatened with outright communism. You're also right. They're not going to change. You even admitted in another episode, we will eventually have a right-wing dictator. So what are we waiting for? You're concerned the commies will do the same to us, but they already are. Let's get the commies before they get us. Viva Franco and viva Pinochet, the guy says. Okay, so my concern is not that the commies will do the same to us, not about the whole dictator thing. My concern is living under one. I don't want a king. I don't want a dictator. I want to be free. I know as the communists continue to do more and more evil things that I will be a minority in that, and that the people, many of whom, many of you, are already crying out for one. I do not want one. I'm not interested. I want to be free. Maybe that's unrealistic, probably is, but that's what I want. And I also want you to keep the memories you have forever. When my dad died, I still remember it, this gigantic white cardboard box got plopped down on the kitchen of my mom's house because we had to go through all these pictures, all these photographs, and figure out what we wanted on the display at the viewing and everything else. And so many things I'd never even seen before. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I want these on my phone. I want to see the old man whenever I want. And Legacy Box did it for me. Precious things that I'll now have forever. My sons will. And their sons after them. Generations of Kellys who will never get to meet him will get to see him. Legacy Box does that. Let them hand digitize your pictures. Let them hand digitize your VHS tapes, your Super 8 films. Don't lose those memories. They're everything, and I promise you future generations want to see them. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's continue to chop away at these things on what has been a magnificent Friday. Okay, so it was a couple days ago, maybe yesterday, someone brought up the Holy Land trip we had gone to as a show. Me, Chris, we, the whole crew, the whole Jesse Kelly Show family, all of you, well, not all of you, but the people who wanted to could afford it. We all went over, did the Holy Land, and someone said, where's the next one? Where's the next one? This guy has a suggestion. Egypt. He said, think of it this way. The Holy Land and Egypt are bookends of the biblical story. There's an amazing Coptic community in Cairo. They have a church where, from the story of Mary and Joseph, they ran off and hid in Egypt in this particular church. And all other things related to Egyptian captivity documented in the Old Testament. Hey, Chris, absolutely fascinating. So Egypt provides additional context to all the Old Testament and New Testament. Having a sea cruise to Egypt would be an appropriate bookend to the cruise to Jerusalem, so on and so forth. I would also suggest Cairo, Luxor, and then the Nile River, so on and so forth. I looked into Egypt one time because I really, really, really want to go. The history, it's a history thing for me. I want to see the pyramids. I want to see the Sphinx. I want to see these things. I want to walk into these Egyptian museums. Egypt is so ancient. We don't really think about how ancient Egypt is. Thousands of years before Christ, documented. This just an ancient, ancient place, ancient people, ancient history. I wanted to go so bad that Ab and I at one point in time started looking at Disney. I don't know if you know this. Disney does vacations by Disney. They had an Egyptian one. I'm sure they still do. We eventually called it quits on that. Because we're so disgusted with everything Disney, we never wanted to give them another dime. So we called it quits and let it go and never went back. But that wasn't the only reason we called it quits on that. One, it was very expensive. Very, very expensive. Don't roll your eyes, Chris. You of all people are not rolling your eyes at me for being cheap. How much was it? Dude, I think it was... Now, this was it was long. It was like 10 days or something. I think it was $7,000-$8,000 a person. A person, buddy. Yeah, it was a lot. We were way sticker shocked. So we walked away because of the Disney thing. We were super sticker shocked because of the price. And Egypt can be very unsafe. I know people who go to Egypt for business. In fact, I'm buddies with a guy who just got back not long ago. And not all of them, but a lot of them, they have security with them. There are security companies over there who they escort them along. I don't know that I want to bring my family to Egypt. If I would probably go myself, I'll tell you that. I know that's probably wildly irresponsible. If it was me, maybe me and the fellas, I would go. And I'm not telling you not to go if you have some dream. I'm not trying to dump on Egypt if you have some dream. The Islamic countries can be very, very dangerous to people who aren't Islamic. And to people who are, they can be. And Egypt has been a place with a lot of upheaval, a lot of crime, a lot of violence. There's terrorism there. It would be on my mind. It would be on my mind. And I have spent some time in countries like that, as you are well aware, and it's on your mind. Hey, what's in the trunk of that car? Hey, it's crowded here in this shopping center. What's in that guy's backpack? It's on your mind. Now, if I would be worried about my family, I'd also be worried about yours. I think we had something like 200 people come the last time we went. The show's grown exponentially since then. What if that's 300, 400 people? Kids, and there were kids, you know, because it's a family show. People listen as a family. Man, what if something happened to one of your kids? I don't know that I want that on my conscience the rest of my life. And maybe I'm way overthinking it. Maybe I'm being a dad too much when it comes to this whole thing. I don't know, but I don't want that. Jesse, I rarely miss your podcast most days, but I'm faced with a terrible dilemma. Sometime in the 90s, my husband fell in love with the Subaru brand. He's had about 4 to 5 Foresters, now 2 Ascents. I'm on my second Outback after tenure with the mom van. We had a mom van too. We drive to Colorado 3-4 times a year, so I need some reliable all-wheel drive in the mountains. Neither of us has ever voted for a dirty communist or even a Democrat. And our first option was Reagan. You often link Subaru Outback to your awful liberal Aunt Peggy. Am I going to need to switch brands to continue to hold my head high? No. Look, if you like Subaru, get a Subaru. Go. Yeah, look, it's not your fault they turned it into the Lesbaru. It's still a reliable car, a car that does well for gas mileage, a car that does well in the snow and ice. And if you like it, stick with it. It's not your fault they ruined the friggin' thing. Buy it, grow out your leg hair, and put on a coexist bumper sticker. No, I'm kidding. Get your Subaru. Don't be tainted on it just because I'm a jerk. All right. Let's talk. Someone wants to ask me about government-funded daycare centers, the movies. Someone wants to talk about Venezuela? What's going on? We'll recap that. I thought we recapped it earlier. We'll recap that again in a moment. Before we recap those things, let's recap this. There's no stock market that lasts forever. We are at this super high mark of the stock market right now, as you know. But what happens after that every single time? Go look at the history of it. What happens after that every single time? We're riding super high right now. Bubble's going to pop eventually. Have you protected your retirement that you worked hard for? What would it mean to you if you woke up tomorrow and 30% of it was gone? Let Gold Co. protect your retirement. That's what Gold Co. is. It's retirement protection. You work hard for that money. Let them incorporate precious metals into it as part of it to give you some protection, no matter whether it's high or whether it's low. Or are you going to sit around and wait for gold to hit another record high? Call 855-817-GOLD. Let Gold Code take care of you. Or go online, jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, a fantastic Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we're going to keep rolling through these as fast as we can because I realize the end is nigh, Chris. Isn't that, didn't I use that right? I did use it right? The weekend is nigh. Never mind. The weekend is nigh. Look, I'm going to keep working on it. All right. I'm going to keep working on it. Anyway, Jesse, occasionally you mention trailers, old movies, whatever. Any comments on Liam Neeson's remake of The Naked Gun? We have heard good and not so good reviews. Any comments? I'm not sure if I can read the name of this family, so I'm going to set that aside. They didn't say that I could. Okay, so first, I should explain that I am a huge fan of the old Naked Gun movies. I should also explain that I don't go to very many movies anymore. And to Ob's frustration, to my wife's frustration, I don't do many TV series anymore. We used to, when we were younger, it was one of the things we did when we were off work. We would watch a TV show together. That's something couples do. I'm so tired of all kinds of girl boss, DEI, LGBTQ crap crammed into every freaking thing that I've essentially just kind of walked away from most entertainment. I know if I go to the movies, they're going to do something like that. If I start a TV series, it's going to be the first episode and I'm going to have to see the first tranny character. And she knows. She knows by now. She said, well, I lost him. Immediately, I'm going to be out. That said, we went to, as a family, the new Naked Gun. Now, it's going to depend on the age of your children. It is by no means extremely raunchy, or I wouldn't say that, but it's not going to be good for your six-year-old. All right. So my boys are 14 and 16. They were, in our opinion, old enough to handle a couple crude jokes, still be fine. Right? So there's no nudie stuff or anything like that, but there are going to be some crude jokes in there. I have not laughed that hard at a movie in years. I was doubled over with laughter. I can't remember the last movie I saw that made me laugh as hard as that movie made me laugh. And it's so stupid. It's the dumbest humor in the world. And I love that. I don't apologize for that at all. We loved it. I loved it so much that I will watch it again when it comes out on DVD. Not DVD, sorry. When it comes out where you can rent it online. Okay, I will watch it again without hesitation. It was that freaking funny. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. There. Jesse, I work for a company that provides services for government-funded daycare centers. Almost every place I visit has gay, trans, Black Lives Matter plastered on the walls. Every time I see it, I wonder how we let things get this far out of control. Tell me how to fight this and begin reversing this madness. Daycare centers. Gay, trans, Black Lives Matter stuff. Daycare centers. Okay, so we talk about this a lot, so I'll just spend a minute on it because it's Friday. He's a religious zealot, the communist is, and he will spread his religion wherever he is, in ways large and small. If he's the president, he's going to light up the White House in rainbow colors. If he runs a daycare, there's going to be a gay flag on the wall. And everything in between. If she runs a public library, the books about American history will be sent to the closet, and there's going to be tranny books on full display as fast as they can. Should I bring up that old audio of LaToya Ravenow? In fact, Chris, grab that old audio of LaToya Ravenow, the Disney chick. This is a chick who produces movies and TV shows. She gets a prestigious job at Disney. Disney is majorly wealthy, majorly powerful. We got this behind-the-scenes stuff from an internal meeting. Now, imagine what you would do if a dream job landed in your lap, how hard you would work to do the job well. Listen to what she worked at.
I worked at small studios most of my career, and I'd heard, you know, hear whispers. Like, I'd heard things like, oh, you know, they won't let you show this at a Disney show. And I'm like, okay. So I was a little, like, sus when I started. But then my experience was bafflingly the opposite of what I had heard. The showrunners were super welcoming. Meredith Roberts and, like, our leadership over there has been so welcoming to, like, my, like, not at all secret gay agenda. And so, like, I feel like I felt like it was, I mean, like, maybe it was that way in the past, but I guess, like, something must have happened in the last, like they're turning it around, they're going hard. And then all that, like, momentum that I felt, like, that sense of, I don't have to be afraid. Let's have these two characters kiss. Let's, in the background, this, like, I was just, wherever I could, just basically adding queerness to, like, if you see anything queer in the show, I'm proud of them. But, like, I just was like, no one would stop me and no one was trying to stop me.
Does that sound like a movie producer or a religious zealot? This is how they operate everywhere they take power. And so when you say government-funded daycare centers have Black Lives Matter flags, this is what happens when you allow your government to be filled with these vicious little communists. This is how they do things. Now, that's the bad news. Here's some more bad news for you. Don't worry, it's going to end with some good news. Here's some more bad news. We will always, always, till the day you die, you're going to struggle with this. You're going to run into this filth in this place or that place. It's in your Boy Scouts. It's in your school. It's in your movies. It's in your government. It's in the daycare. It's everywhere. You need to think about communism. Well, think about your country like a boat, okay? It is a boat that's been out at sea for a very long time. Taking on water is going to be the norm. Finding holes, patching holes, and bailing the water is not a once in a while thing, or you do it one time and you're done thing. It's all the time, because the water is always looking for cracks, always looking for a way to get into your ship. That's how communism is with your country. The second we plug a hole here, it's going to start seeping in there, and we'll have to patch that and bail. And then as soon as we do that, boom, another one sprouts. We're going to have to patch that and bail water. And then the struggle is eternal, because this is a battle of good and evil. It's not a battle of Republicans and Democrats, right and wrong. This is good and evil. As soon as the devil gets tired and hangs it up, then the communist will get tired of trying to destroy whatever it is you love. Until that day comes, our fight will continue on and on and on, but not without end. Your life will end before we win, but we will win in the end. We will. It's going to be a lot of struggle, a lot of fighting, a lot of hard work. We do have to patch. We do have to patch those holes, and we do have to bail that water. When you find a communist anywhere in your life, purge them out. If they're on the school board, purge them, run against them, gone. Run them out, bail the water, tear down the tranny flags, and get ready for the next fight, because I promise you one is coming. And stop patronizing companies that push this crap too. There's a lot of them. Nobody's perfect. Nobody can be perfect with their spending habits, because so much of this crap has invaded corporate America. But we can all be better. Your cell phone is a layup. Everyone has a cell phone. Everyone has a mobile company. Switching to Pure Talk is painless. Pure Talk saves you money. There's another incentive right there. And Pure Talk loves your country. The way the communists hate it, that's how much Pure Talk loves it. Go look at the charitable giving of Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. That's your money going to all that filth. Then look at what Pure Talk does. This wonderful veteran-led company, and they're on the same network. Well, I can't drop calls. It's the same network. It's the same towers. And it's easy. You can switch right now during the break. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I hope you are planning to take a load off this weekend, spend some time with family, do something you enjoy on a nice long Labor Day weekend. You know what I'm going to do? Nothing. What, Chris? You know it's my favorite thing in the world. I'm going to do absolutely nothing. I am going to watch a documentary, maybe two, maybe three, maybe four. Nothing's going to stop me. What, Chris? What's that, buddy? No kids sports this weekend, by the grace of God. No kids sports at all. No nothing. It's me in history. I might come back. I am not promising you this. I might come back ready for a history episode. I don't know. I mean, shoot, by the time we get back here, it might be a full-blown revolution going on over there in the UK. We might have to go across the pond, Chris, and broadcast from there for tea and strumpets. And I don't think we can do that, buddy. I don't think they would allow us to do that. Maybe they would. Probably not if they're in the middle of a revolution. But this is where we need it. What? This is, yeah, an on-the-ground reporter, after all.
It's Journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Have I ever been? No. I flew through England one time in the worst airport in the history of mankind, London's Heathrow Airport. I've never seen such a cockamamie Keystone Cops setup in my entire life. It was the most ridiculous, stupid thing I've ever experienced. You landed and you had to go get on a bus to the other terminal. But don't think this is like a normal shuttle to another terminal. It was like a 20-minute bus ride with stop signs. And it was the most ridiculous, stupid thing I've ever seen in my life. If I sound angry about it, that's because I'm still angry about it to this day. It was crazy. So no, I've never been. I've only flown through. My only desire to ever go, although I like England very much, I'm a fan. My desire is the World War II history. I've told you before, I've been told that Churchill's bunker is still there, untouched. They left it alone, and so it's as is. But the food, we're talking 10, 15 hours of air travel for beans on toast. I'm out. I just don't have a burning desire. But this is why we need one of those broadcast ships. We could sit off the coast. What, Chris? We could. We could sit off the coast. What? I don't want tomatoes in my breakfast. I don't want tomatoes on Earth. I don't want tomatoes anywhere. Tomatoes are unworthy. And I'm just so full of bitterness at how often they destroy sandwiches with it. You'll have this amazing sandwich with some delicious meat and some delicious cheese. And then they'll just assault it with this tomato that then just dominates everything. It's all you can taste. It's disgusting. Let's do some more questions. Dear Leatherneck Jesse, my question for you is, what is wrong with you guys? Why doesn't Pam Bondi ever wear a skirt? Why does she refuse to show us her gams? What? It's a travesty. And I know, whatever. Semper Fi, and may your MRE always have a purple crayon as dessert. Pam Bondi's 60 years old, man. 60 years old. And she's in Washington, D.C., and she's the attorney general. She can't be running around in a skirt like it's the pool at summertime, okay? She can't. What, Chris?
Yes, there is a dress code, okay? And even if there's not an official dress code, she's the Attorney General of the United States of America. She has to present herself professionally, and she's a 60-year-old woman. She did come out and say this, which I don't support.
We're also going to have boaters, Secretary Duffy, right, on our waterways. It is illegal to be under the influence and on a boat. So get a designated boater if you're out on our waterways, whether it's the Potomac or the Gulf of America or the Pacific.
Sorry, I thought this was America.
You know, freedom is not free.
Mr. Dictator Wannabe, first to let you know, thanks for the show. My question is, what's going on in Venezuela? Are we going to invade to install its true president? His name is Eduardo. Donald Trump is not an invade guy. He has, he's been president for 5 years now in total. He's not invaded anywhere. The military actions he's taken, the ones he prefers, if he has to take it, is fly over there, no casualties on our side, drop some bombs, you know, get in, get out. I don't think there's any way Donald Trump is going to invade Venezuela. I just don't see that as being a realistic thing. But clearly the show of force, I mean, to have the naval assets we have down there right now, he takes this very seriously. And Venezuela, they did more than just become a socialist country, which they did, and now those poor people down there are starving. They became a socialist country and openly hostile to America. And this is one of those things that cannot go on without end. I'll never understand why weaker countries do this. Weaker countries, once they get bad leadership, will routinely antagonize larger, stronger countries until they get smacked around. It happens all the time. Honestly, look at the Israel-Hamas situation. You could have just kept doing what you were doing, go stab a few Israelis a year, and just get away with it, and it would have gone on. But you had to try to do some massive 1,000-person raid, and now you're getting it all taken away from you. It's happened time and time again. If you were the weaker, smaller person in the bar where you are, be the nicest person in the bar. Buy someone a beer. All smiles. If you were the weaker country, stop giving speeches, death to America this and death to America that, and sponsoring drug cartels and everything else. You focus on being really, really polite. Because if the United States of America eventually gets tired of it, there's nothing you can do to stop us from crushing you like a grape. That's a fact. Here's also a fact. You're about to have a great weekend. Take that phone of yours. Put it in the drawer. Why don't you stash it for all 3 days? Read a book. Watch a documentary. Enjoy your family. All our problems will be here on Tuesday. I promise. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.